Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
7:07 here on this Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us on O'Connor and Company. 7:35. Reed Rubenstein, he's with America First Legal. Two questions. Number one, what the heck went into this raid on the president's home? He wants answers from the DOJ and from the National Archives Administration. But second question, why can't we take a look at Joe Biden's records as vice president, especially those involving Hunter Biden? I think those are worthy of investigation. Yeah. So we'll talk to him about that coming up in 30 minutes. We're also going to talk to Maria Leaf of The Examiner at 7:45. And then at 8:35, we'll speak with Jeremy Adams. He has written a book about what it's like to be a teacher these days, as we are suffering a teacher shortage, as you know. Also with us all morning long, it's the one and only Liz Scheld of American Greatness. Good morning, Liz.
Great morning, Larry.
Yes, it is a great morning. But not if you're a teacher in the public school system and you want to be factual and accurate and truthful with your students. We're seeing this play out in Stafford schools right now. And Chris Chandevel is senior counsel at Alliance Defending Freedom. He joins us now. I'm not really being hyperbolic here. This is a teacher who has been told to adhere to a student's preferred pronouns, but those preferred pronouns don't accurately and factually and truthfully reflect reality. And this teacher did not want to be forced to lie. It's really that simple, isn't it, sir?
Yes. Thanks, Larry. Thanks, Liz. Thanks for having me on. That's exactly right. You're not exaggerating at all. What happened in this case, Peter Vlaming was a high school French teacher at West Point, Virginia. He'd been teaching there for almost 7 years. He was a hardworking father of four. His students loved him. He loved his job. He always got glowing reviews. And yet when he had a student who had been in his class previously, who informed him that the student was going to start identifying as transgender and using a new name and using new pronouns, he told the school and told the student, "Listen, I'm happy to do my best to accommodate the student, to even use the student's new chosen name, and to just avoid using pronouns altogether," because he didn't want to say anything that might offend the student. And yet what the school said was, "That's not good enough. You have to affirmatively use biologically incorrect pronouns to refer to this student." And when Peter said, "Listen, I can't do that because I think that would be speaking something that's untrue to my students, and that wouldn't be fair to them," the school said, "Well, that's not good enough for us. You're fired."
What kind of appeal process does a teacher have in this case? And where does that lead exactly? Are you in the process of that now, or has he already exhausted his appeals through his collective bargaining agreement, and now that's why they brought you in?
So the process that he was given in the school system, if you can call it that, is basically he got several demands, including written demands, from the school officials there at West Point that gave him what they called a directive. And the directive was, you must affirmatively use these biologically incorrect pronouns. And if you don't, we're going to recommend your firing to the school board. And like I said, when he said he just couldn't do that consistent with his faith, they did recommend his firing to the school board. He did get a hearing before that school board, but the school board very quickly just rejected all of his his religious objections and conscientious objection to doing what they were demanding that he do, fired him. So we ended up having to file a lawsuit on his behalf in Virginia state court. And that lawsuit was dismissed pretty quickly by the judge without any explanation behind the judge's decision. So we've appealed that decision to the Virginia Supreme Court, and we're in the process of filing our briefs in that court now.
Chris, are there suits in other states? Is this just a Virginia thing, or has this cropped up all over the country?
Oh, it's absolutely cropping up all over the country. So we represented a college professor in Ohio who ran into the same situation with the school officials there. He was willing to use the student's last name and again, be perfectly respectful in the classroom, but just couldn't use that biologically incorrect pronouns. His university disciplined him. We have a teacher in Kansas that we represent Same thing. The policy there was you must affirmatively use these biologically incorrect pronouns. You can't just respectfully decline to use pronouns. So she's being disciplined by her school. They actually have a policy that says if a student doesn't want you to tell their parents that student is going by a different name and going by a different pronouns at school, you as a teacher basically have to lie to the parents to keep them in the dark and not let them know what's going on at school. So we're seeing it really is.
Chris, do you think this is going to go to the Supreme Court ultimately to just be decided, since it's happening in so many different areas in the country?
We do think it's an issue that eventually the U.S. Supreme Court may very well have to weigh in on. In this particular case in Virginia, we've brought all state claims. And the reason why we've done that, so all of our claims are under the state, Virginia state constitution, the free speech protections, the religious freedom protections. And the interesting thing about Virginia, you know, Virginia is really the birthplace of religious liberty. And yet, despite that, there have been very few cases talking about what Virginia's constitution means when it says that it protects religious freedom. So we're giving the Supreme Court of Virginia a chance to weigh in on that question, and we hope give us a decision in our favor that makes it very clear that the government can never force you to choose between publicly disavowing your core beliefs and keeping your job.
Sic Semper Tyrannis is the motto for Virginia. But who knew the Tyrannis would be a school board? Chris Schandevall is our guest. He's senior counsel at Alliance Defending Freedom. And you'll remember ADF also took up the case of Tanner Cross in Loudoun County. That was a similar situation. In fact, the fact that you won in Loudoun County with Tanner Cross at the state level, I would think that that already sets the precedent. Why do you keep having to fight the same fight in the same venues?
Sure. So with Tanner's case, that case was decided kind of at a preliminary stage of the case. And so we won a kind of temporary injunction that went up to the Supreme Court and got affirmed. But that decision was kind of an unpublished order that doesn't have any precedential effect. So that case is more or less been put on hold, it seems like, while this case goes forward. So this will be the case that sets the precedent for the entire Commonwealth of Virginia.
By the way, it is ironic that the teacher in question here is a French teacher, considering in the French language,
two genders.
Yeah, I mean, it's very specific. You have to get genders right in the language, otherwise you're not doing it properly. Can you sort of touched on it, but if you could be explicit here with regard to what the defense is going to be here, what your argument is, because I know you raised the freedom of religion, but you don't have to have a religious faith to want to adhere to the accuracy of our language and the reality of science and sex, right? I mean, it may aid in your argument, but isn't this ultimately just a free speech question?
Oh, that's absolutely true. So we brought a religious freedom claim, but we've also brought an independent free speech claim. And the claim there is basically, you know, listen, Peter wasn't fired for anything that he was saying in the classroom. He was fired for what he couldn't say. Huh. And so this is really a case about compelled speech. The school was trying to force him to use these pronouns and basically to endorse the government's viewpoint on a controversial issue like gender identity.
Okay.
And so that's the claim. And the school's defense is basically, listen, you work for us. So when you set foot inside that classroom, we own everything that you say to your students. Hmm. So we can force you to endorse our beliefs on issues like this. And there's really nothing that you as a teacher can do about that.
By the way, real fast, I mean, and that, listen, for free marketeers and people who believe in private businesses' right to conduct their business, that's one thing. But the difference here is that employer is the government.
It's the government, right.
So in other words, if my company wanted to force me to utilize pronouns, that is a different fight, is it not?
It is a different fight, right. But so what our position is, the government shouldn't be putting a thumb on the scale of one side of the debate or the other and really ending that debate. Yeah. Because even if you happen to agree with, you know, the position that your government is taking today, you know, they might take the complete opposite position tomorrow. Yeah. Or the government in the county over might take the complete opposite position. So it's just a dangerous thing to give the government that kind of power.
That said, if my company does make me start doing that, can I call you at Alliance Defending Freedom on that one as well?
We'd certainly be happy to chat.
All right. Thank you. Hopefully that will be the case. I shouldn't say that. Let's just end this now before it gets bad. Chris Schandevall, Alliance Defending Freedom. Thank you, sir. And thank you for taking up this fight.
Thank you. Happy to do it. Take care.
7:15 now, WMAL traffic and weather every 10 minutes. First on the fives, here's Lisa Baden in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.